stars of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Where truth is our bitch. It is the Phil Hendry Show. And we're on our website as well as on the air listening for you to I was going to say we're listening to you. That's an interesting way of approaching the beginning of a radio show when you misspeak. We're listening to you. You don't have to listen to me anymore. I want to listen to you. I'm sick and tired of people listening to me. I would rather listen to you. So starting Monday, we'll be walking around listening to the radio and not being on it. All right.
Well, that means you're fired.
Pretty much, yeah. That would mean you're fired. So that's a way of...
You can tell guys that have been fired that.
Oh, I was going to say, you can tell people, which, thank you, bud. I can tell any of you guys who are about to be fired, have been fired, you can, of course, I don't know who you'd tell this to, but it's a nice out-of-work slug. I'm now listening to you. I'm Bob so-and-so. I'm Jason whatever. It used to be you listening to me. Well, now I'm listening to you. Walking the streets of Indianapolis, listening to you.
Yes, walking the streets of Indianapolis and getting into an unemployment line. I don't think there's a lot of people that would find that very funny. By the way, there was something I wanted to tell you.
Yes, Margaret Gray, folks.
Hello. I forgot.
You're a dude I can't do.
I'll take my direction from Phil, thank you very much.
All right, let's not start right off the bat.
No, it's fine. I'll take my direction from Phil, thank you very much.
You always do that, though.
He's right. You always will start with...
I don't always do it.
All right, but the last few nights you've been, oh, I have something to say, oh, I forgot. It's a little weird, you know.
No, it's not weird. It might be unnerving. It's not weird. Excuse me. That may be weird. I don't think it is, but you consider it weird. I'll let you have that. I'll give you that. I'll give you the fact that my belches are weird.
I don't think they're weird. I think they're crude, uncouth, and uncalled for. Well, you know. So, starting things off as usual, folks.
No, I didn't say anything, man. I didn't say a word. I want to get involved. I want to see the show start off in a good way. And you talk about belch, talking about, I even forgot I was so insignificant.
That's the truth. I forgot, too. I don't even know what you two were arguing about other than it was, it was turf again. Who gets to do what when? Look, let's just start all over again. Hi, it's Phil Hendry, and welcome. I have myself, I have Margaret, I have Robert, I have Bud, and welcome to our program. We Listen to You is a new slug that we think will allow anybody to have. I'm not going to copyright it. I'm not going to turn into a guy that people think I am anyway, which is a Mr. Copyright Protection guy. And so,
Well, you're not going to copyright that.
No, of course I'm not. Anyway, if you're out of work, use that one. We listen to you. All right. So tonight we have, starting things off here this evening. By the way, as I mentioned, we're online at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and you'll probably be able to figure this crap out a lot easier than I've been able to figure it out myself, even as I say it. There is a story that I was reading just before we went on the air here concerning a sorority in Indiana, and it was there was an inappropriate party that was held at a sorority at the University of Indiana University. I think it's Indiana University.
It's IU.
Is that Indiana University?
Yes, IU.
Is that Indiana Uni?
Bud.
No.
IU, Indiana University.
Oh.
What do you think it said?
That IU.
You thought I was talking like someone with a disability.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, take it easy, Margaret, you know. In any event, I was reading this story about a sorority that had a homeless party and the signs hanging around their neck, you know, why lie, the money's for beer, this kind of thing. So they said that was really insensitive. Now we were reading something else, I think it's unrelated, of a woman who published some kind of email rant. A sorority sister had to resign. And I'm not really clear on this story. It's very bizarre, and it has to do with a, quote, mean girl sorority rant that was read around the world and has taken a somewhat predictable turn with Delta Gamma sister Rebecca Martinson resigning from her sorority Wednesday because of her profanity-laced, media frenzy-inducing email. Delta Gamma has accepted the resignation of one of its members whose email relating to a social event has been widely distributed and publicized through social media and traditional media channels. The tone and content of the email was highly inappropriate and unacceptable by any standard, read Wednesday's announcement on the University of Maryland sorority's Facebook page. All reasonable people can agree, this is an email that should never have been sent. Further, Delta Gamma now considers the matter closed, which is basically, it's all done, man. Well, says Gawker, dream on, sisters. Since Gawker first shared the email a week ago, Martinson's F-bomb-laced fury at fellow Delta Gamma members for literally being boring, awkward, weird, mentally slow, and stupid has gone seriously viral, with major news outlets from ABC News to CNN giving it coverage. It also spawned a slew of hysterical parodies, including actor Michael Shannon's pitch-perfect delivery, a stop-motion Barbie performance on the YouTube channel The Most Popular Girls in School, a reading by an animated Joe Pesci, and a scary, funny, dramatic reading by stand-up comedian Kelsey Cook. Scary funny. Why don't we listen to... Well, I don't know which of these we want to read, because I think we want to hear the real thing first, right?
Yes, there's no point in listening to a parody or a satire of something that you don't know is being satirized.
Yeah, got it. Got to hear it first.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, man.
Take it easy, Margaret. I mean, the kid's... You know, he admires you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he admires me. As soon as I turn my back, he's doing the finger through the two... Well, I won't say it.
Oh, no, he doesn't.
You know what he's doing.
All right, in any event, so why has Martinson's screed been such a popular online fodder? Well, many reasons, according to Michael Fertig, founder and CEO of Reputation.com, who told CNN it was because of the mean girl stereotype, the surprise factor of... something so vulgar and crude being sprouted by someone who looks fairly angelic. And the fact that a quick search of her social media accounts revealed other less than politic moments. And he added the email could follow the college junior for years. Now, what is this email? Here it is. I literally want you to email me back telling me if you're mentally slow, says this deranged, so-called deranged email. The Mean Girl sorority rant read around the world has taken a somewhat predictable turn, with Delta Gamma sister Rebecca Martinson resigning from her sorority Wednesday night because of the profanity-laced media frenzy-inducing email. Now, I think we printed off this thing, if I'm not mistaken. Well, here it is in its... I don't know whether this is the email or what's going on. There are two things the Delta Gamma sorority's University of Maryland chapter refuses to tolerate. The first is Delta Gammas who are literally being so effing awkward. The second is young ladies who are so effing boring. Last week, bitches got told. A tipster forwarded us the following expletive and caps-ridden email tirade sent to the entire sorority chapter by one of its executive board members. So this girl's an executive board member.
You know, I belonged to a sorority when I went to Pennsylvania University, and never would we send out anything like this.
Yeah, you didn't have email back then.
What?
You didn't have email.
That's true, you didn't have email.
We didn't have email. Is that what they just said?
Yes. Did you have email back when you were in college?
No, we did not have email, although I do think we had horse and buggy. Good night.
Where are you going, Margaret?
I'm just going to the toilet.
Well, but
what was that? You went... I don't need to be insulted this early.
All they said was there was no email back when you were in college, right?
No, there wasn't.
Okay, isn't that... What's unfair about that statement?
It's beside the point. When we sent something... Here, I'll come back. I'm coming back just for this very quick comment. When we sent something out...
Can I interrupt you?
What?
What did you send out?
We sent out an announcement saying we're having... Let's say we sent out an announcement saying we're having a barbecue. Or we're having a dance. Or we're having a tea or something. Okay?
Right.
Well, what are you looking at me weird for?
Well, what did you send out if you didn't have email? And Margaret, look, they didn't have email when I was in college either.
Oh, is that right, Grandpa? Well, that's just wonderful. I'm not really talking about you. I'm talking about me. And the inference that somehow I'm menopausal or I'm scratching my...
I didn't see him scratching all. He said, man, no email.
Yeah, there was no email. And why don't you just say it, bud? Did we have fire? Yes, we did.
Okay, well, that answers that question.
You being a smartass?
Hey! Watch it.
Keep him away from me.
What?
Keep him away from me.
I'm way over here. I would never go near you.
Good. Now then. What?
We have to take a break.
Oh, you know.
We have to take... We'll be right back as Margaret explains whether or not they had fire and email.
All of you can rock.
Okay, there she goes. Just go ahead and stay in the bathroom for a while, Margaret.
I may. And guess what? Here, I just want to get... Guess what? There's no matches.
God!
We'll be right back with this sorority scrant on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth no is matches. Our bitch. The Phil no Henry matches. Show. Listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back here. Now, we got everybody settled back in their seats, and all I wanted to just do is get the actual copy of this bloody thing, and I've got it here. And this is the letter that was written by this sorority sister, and we agree on one thing, Margaret, that who, you know, like, whose business is this?
Well, that's the point. I don't understand why this is a national story. This is an email that was written by some woman, and it's a sorority email, and it's no one's business but the sorority. They have no call, no cause, no count, no good two-bit...
Watch your language.
No, I won't watch my language. This is no one's business but the sorority's. And for this to become national news shows the national trend towards sticking your nose right in there and taking a big, deep breath. I think it's absolutely crude, and I think that all people listening to my voice right now, I'm Margaret Gray, and I'd like to make an announcement. Could you...
Well, Margaret...
No, hold on. Just everything stop. I'm Margaret Gray. I want to make this announcement. I'm Margaret Gray. I'm making this announcement. Would you stop that, bud?
What? I'm scratching my balls.
Oh, you love...
Hey! Watch your language, bud.
Well, she asked me to stop something.
I could see what you were doing. My name is Margaret Gray. I'm a nationally syndicated newspaper columnist. And this is my opinion. I'm not a very good public speaker. I'm a writer by profession. But there are times when a story so moves me that I find words that I did not know I possessed. Such is the case with the sorority email that was mailed out by the sorority. What mailed out
That mailed out the email.
No, I know what I'm doing. That mailed out the email, that's what I was going to say. That was put in the mail. Oh.
God, why don't you figure it out?
You know one thing I can figure out? How to get across Phil with this fist.
Well, hold on now. You're Margaret, do you want me to say it?
No, I don't want you. I'm trying to tell everyone this email that was mailed in the mail.
I think what you're trying to say, it's nobody's business.
Yes, but I had a much more articulate way of saying... I have a lot more to say than it's nobody's business. You know,
Margaret, you know, you're very rude to people that are trying to help you, okay?
Phil, I'm not in a wheelchair. I don't need help out of the chair and back into the van. What are you laughing at?
Just the idea of you being helped back into the access van.
Well, I'm not going to get up and go to the toilet. You told me not to do that.
Yeah, just...
I'm going to get...
Watch it.
Bud, there's going to be a time when Phil isn't around. That's the day.
Yeah, that's the day what? You're gonna touch my butt?
Hey!
I'll kill you.
Watch it now. I don't want any of this violence anymore, I told you. And Margaret, you're a woman, a genteel woman, an educated woman, a newspaper columnist. I don't know how many times I gotta step between you and Bud when you're getting ready to rip his throat out.
He's begging for it. Man, I've never seen a guy beg for it like him.
All right. Here is the email. Here is the full and complete email sent by this chick, and then I want off of this story once and for all, because I do agree, it ain't nobody's business. It's a sorority. Who cares? The reason why these stories get going, I'll tell you why it gets going, because there's people that didn't get into the sorority. There's people that didn't get into the fraternity. There's people that got a problem with sororities and fraternities from a personal point of view, you know, something in their past. Because I can tell you, I was never in a fraternity.
Were you in a sorority?
No, I wasn't in a sorority. You know why?
Why?
Because they're for women.
Do it, Margaret. They're for women.
Oh.
So even if I wanted to get into a sorority, and believe me, I did, but not for the reasons you're thinking, there's no way. No way at all.
Did you ever go out with a sorority girl?
I don't know. Maybe. I never asked. I didn't care. It just didn't, never, it was not on my social radar, sororities and fraternities. But I'm not putting them down. I'm not putting them down. My son was in a sorority. Sorry, Nick. You probably were in a sorority. He was in a fraternity. And so I don't put them down. They had a lot of fun, and that's fantastic. I don't have a problem with them. I'm not looking to turn them, shut them down. I'm not looking to embarrass them. Nothing, okay? And I think that's a, you know, forgive me for, you know, saying this. I don't think I'm all that, but I think that's a healthy view. So you got a fraternity, you got a sorority, they do what they do, they're weird, they're squirrely. I mean, come on, give me a break. Animal House? Hello? They drink, they party, it's what it's all about, man. There's not one adult listening to me right now, and I understand that there is dangerous behavior relative to alcohol. I think that's been addressed, but we're just talking about young men and women that are coming into adulthood, they're into their time in life where they're apart from their parents for the first time. They're socializing without any adult supervision for the first time, and they're, you know, this is good. This is not bad. Now, and the country, the United States of America, last time I checked, is still here, and this is a country that's being run by people that used to be in fraternities and sororities, or hung out with them. I know I hung out with a few of those guys because we went up to the University of Florida one week, and we tried to get into fraternities, and we didn't even go to the school there.
What?
Why'd you do that?
Because we just for laughs. We decided that we would go to all these parties they were having. They didn't know any different. Now, having said all of that, I don't understand why this story is a big thing. You know, it's typical behavior. I mean, it's typical of these guys. They give each other crap. They're bugged. The job of a sorority officer or fraternity officer is to motivate the membership, to get them to go out and do things, to stand tall, proud, and all that bull crap for whatever Greek house.
But it's called Greek house.
Because it's in Greek. Would you just listen, please?
These are all these names are Greek.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out Samagoo and Sammy Goo.
They didn't know Sammy Goo.
Yeah, what is Sammy Goo?
Ain't that the name of the sorority? Of the fraternity?
Fraternity?
Yeah.
No, it's a sorority.
What's its name?
I don't know.
Sammy Goo.
It ain't Sammy Goo. It's something else, man.
Well, how do you know about Sammy Goo?
Because there's no sorority called Sammy Goo. I'm going to come unglued.
Oh, hold on, will you?
I mean it.
Who cares, man? It doesn't make any difference. I don't give a damn what the name of the sorority is. I could care less what the name of the sorority is. Some of these people think, oh, my God, what a disgrace. Oh, give me a break, will you? All she was doing here was telling these chicks, and they're talking in chick talk, and she's getting in their face, and she's saying, get up off your dead asses and, you know, do the do, man. Now, I don't know what the protocol is here. I know they have a national chapter and the this and the that and the something else, you know, and we don't want to be represented by this or that or something else. And I guess you got to be aware of the fact that this stuff is going to get public. I'll tell you something, though, man. The public itself should not even care. The press, which I think is more and more about making the story, not reporting the story, especially you guys at Gawker. You know, I wanted to read this, and you guys just could not resist publishing the email and throwing your comments in, which are marginally interesting at best. Not funny, marginally interesting. And I'm not even, you know, like I said, I don't really have a dog in this fight, but what I am bothered by is cats in the national press that are starting to make news as opposed to report it, because you guys are so bad at finding what stories there are. And then this stuff, you know, I bet you like 90% of the American people could care less until you cats just shove this crap down our throats. And this becomes not only a big story on Gawker, Yahoo's got it, Google's got it, you know, the national mainstream media's got it. And what is it? Some chick at some sorority and God knows where, I don't know, I don't care, telling the rest of them to, you know, shove it up their you-know-what because you chicks aren't worth it and you should all die in a bus fire. So what? So that's how they talk. I'm Phil Hendry.
Thank you. That was very good, Phil.
Thank you.
There you go, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. All right, stop. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show with more important stuff.
Like what?
I don't know. We'll be right back. Famous Phil Hendry Show. Actor Edward Norton, in a scrape, in a dust up, in a bit of a contretemps with a photographer, got into a small fight, in other words, with an amateur photographer on Tuesday. Say amateur photographer. The guy's name is Elon Becerra Calderon. I don't know whether that's the actual. I don't know whether the guy's like French or something, or he's just an American with a highly affected name.
Well, why do you call that affected? Some people, Phil.
Well, Elon Becerra Calderon.
Let me see that.
Don't whip it out of my hands like that, okay?
I want to see. Elon Becerra Calderon. Yes, Elon Becerra Calderon.
Calderon? It's C-A-L...
Phil, I know what I'm doing, all right? Now, is he French? I don't know. Is he American? I don't know. I'd have to hear the man's voice. But even if it was an accent, he could still be American, because a great many Americans have accents. Now, we know this from the way a lot of them talk, right?
Yeah.
So,
Let me see this.
Don't take that.
Give me that. I'll do it. Thanks a lot. Now it's wrecked.
You should have let me do it.
No, I'm not letting you do it. Elon Becerra Calderon... But if you take that out of my hand one more time, I'm going to kick your ass. What do you think this sounds like to the audience?
I could care less.
You could care less.
I'm about the art. I'm about the broadcast. I'm about the truth. I'm Margaret Gray.
Now, that's great, Miss Gray. All right.
Thank you.
Now.
No. Just hush up.
Gray, are you done?
Yes, and then...
Edward Norton gets into fight with photographer. Edward Norton recently got into a small fight with an amateur photographer on Tuesday. The actor was approached on the streets of New York by Elon Becerra Calderon, a man who makes videos on YouTube. Well, isn't that a wonderful use of your time? The problem started when the photographer asked Norton a question. I got a quick question. People say you look like me. Is that true? The man asked. Kind of like Stuttering John, you know, asking...
Yeah, like asking a funny question.
Exactly. Edward Norton responded with, "Why are you stalking me?" It was around this time that the Fight Club star shoved Becerra Calderon's camera phone away. Now, here's Norton saying that he was being stalked.
No, read the rest of the story, because I side with the press.
You think this guy's the press, huh?
Yes, I do. Why, just because he has videos on YouTube? God, you really are judgmental.
Yes, I am judgmental, because anybody can hold a camera, anybody can follow a guy around and bug him. At what point do you say, okay, you're right, I've been following you around, giving you the creeps, you know, I'll stop. But today, it's about catching interesting video, I realize that, and some of it can be million-dollar video, I understand that too, so just keep the camera on Edward Norton. I got just a tip for you, sir, wherever you are, Mr. Calderon, Becerra, Elaine, douche.
Well, that wasn't called for.
I think it was. Here's a tip for you, man. I bet you could follow Edward Norton around forever, and if he never... That guy is not, in my opinion... what does he do, man? He's not going to get... do you think he's that mysterious?
Well, Edward Norton, he's got a very mysterious...
Yeah, you don't know what he's doing.
Who, Edward Norton?
Yes, I mean, he's one of those guys that stays below the radar.
Maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe it's because his life is dull. Maybe he just goes home, eats, a cheese sandwich, goes out, does his work, comes home, watches TV.
Masturbates?
Maybe.
Why did you say that, you ass?
Because maybe that's what he does. Maybe the most interesting thing he does. Who knows? But of all the cats that are in the news, all the TMZ celebrities, all of the people they report on, let's say at the very extreme end is Kim Kardashian, and as Bud put it the other night, Kim Kardashian and that big ass of hers, quote unquote.
What an animal.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what's in the news. Just their butt and then her. And mostly it's her butt, because her butt's going to precede it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, all you ever say is it's a good point. What do you mean her butt will precede it?
The story is her ass, okay? The story of Kim Kardashian is the story of her ass. Let's face it, okay?
It may be true. Do you have to put it that way?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I don't think I'm insulting her. I mean, Ms. Kardashian probably recognizes that it all began one fine day when, you know, someone said, look at that ass. And that became the story. And, oh, yeah, it's attached to a pretty, you know, very pretty face, a wealthy family, Kanye and all these cats, and her whole life, and, oh, you know, and now she's got a perfume line. But really, that ass...
You know, I think that that is a metaphor for something that is not very flattering, and that is that most of the time, an ass is what produces, and that's what you're saying Kim Kardashian's career is. Nothing but a load of that.
No, I didn't say that at all.
Well, yes, you did.
No, I didn't. That's what you're interpreting. I'm going to get pissed off here in about 5 seconds. Okay?
Take it easy, Phil.
No, I'm not going to take it easy. She's bugging me now. You're bugging me.
Well, all I was saying, Phil, is that...
I heard what you were saying. I'm all done listening to you tell me what you're saying. I'm saying that her ass gave birth to a load of you-know-what. Anyway, Edward Norton responded with, why are you stalking me? It was around this time the Fight Club star shoved Becerra Calderon's camera phone away. Elaine, oh, his first name. Well, isn't that cozy? Elaine later reported the so-called fight to police. He explained to authorities that he was forced to pay a visit to Beth Israel Hospital after the altercation took place. The photographer added that Norton's behavior has caused a tissue contusion on his middle finger. This guy's full of it. Since the incident was reported to police, officers decided to launch an investigation. However, the case was ultimately closed since authorities did not witness the exchange. The matter was referred to civil court. He went to hospital claiming hand pain. It was classified as harassment. Boy, what cops got a better use of their time than having to follow up on some jive-ass jackball's complaint about Edward Norton giving him an owie? Becerra Calderon described his fight with Edward Norton as very, very scary. Yeah. He said that the actor should learn to control his temper. Sure. The photographer added, I asked if I could ask a question, and he grabbed my phone. Well, according to the quote here, sir, I got a quick question. People say you stated you had a question and asked permission. You just went ahead and asked him your dopey question, and it was probably about the 19th question you'd asked the guy, and then he turned around and decided that he wanted to park the camera right up there. Although the matter has been referred to civil court, it's unknown if the amateur photographer has filed a lawsuit against the actor. None of Norton's representatives have commented on the scuffle as of this writing, but I'm sure that they'll send out some kind of report to the wire services very, very soon. Edward Norton is currently filming Alejandro González's Iñárritu. I can't read this.
It's Alejandro González Iñárritu. It's the comedy Birdman in New York City.
No, it's Birdman in New York City.
What, are you trying to be a smartass? That's what I said.
The film is called Birdman, being filmed in New York City.
Oh. The film also stars Emma Stone, Michael Keaton. Oh, look at that. Look at Michael Keaton getting work.
Give me that. Michael Keaton and Naomi Watts. The actor recently completed production on Wes Anderson's The Grand Budapest Hotel.
What's that about?
I don't know. What are you asking me for?
No, nobody ever heard of it.
Well, they just finished it, man.
Well, like a lot of the stuff that Edward Norton's been doing lately, it's probably going to direct to DVD, I think.
Is that right? Well, Margaret, I think you ought to give the guy...
No, I mean, look, what's the last big hit?
What?
What's the last big hit?
I don't know.
Bingo.
Are you a fan of Edward Norton? What do you think about the actor's fight with an amateur photographer? Oh, are you asking me? Yes. I think it was great. I wish he would have broken the guy's face open. That's how I feel. I'm Phil Henry. Thank you so much for asking.
Yeah, they're not going to use a comment like that. They want a guy that's going to call in who doesn't like him and everything.
Yeah, I know, because they're the Everyman Network, whoever the hell these guys are. Is this Gawker?
I don't know.
Let's get Harvey Weinman on the line, attorney at law. And you heard the story, Harvey. I don't know how many of these stories you have been a part of as a defense attorney. What do you think?
Well, you know, the thing that I think is that this guy, Alejandro Pena, whatever his name is.
Alejandro Pena was a Dodger pitcher.
Alejandro, the guy that got the camera grabbed, turn that alarm off, will you? And don't get in my car.
Sorry, but why would I have to be?
Well, park it. Don't play around with it. I'm over at Woody and Eddie's, Phil. I had some dinner over here. Don't tell Ted because he gets angry if I go over here.
Where's Woody and Eddie's?
It's in San Marino.
Well, it's way far away from Beverly Hills.
It doesn't matter. Ted gets pissed off if I don't take the 20-mile trek into Beverly Hills to eat at his restaurant.
Well, he may be listening.
Hold on. What are you doing?
I gotta get the car.
You got out of the car. My car alarm's going off. Here's what I think. I think this guy. Hey, you. Turn the car alarm off, or I'm gonna come over there and I'm gonna turn it off with your face. You understand that?
I don't know about it.
Well, why were you in there, this guy?
You want to take care of that?
No. No, I mean, you called up. I want to talk. Now, Edward Norton, I've known this guy since he came to town. He's a very talented actor. But I will tell you this, Phil, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Edward Norton is a very talented guy. And you know, if you're friends with Edward Norton, you're...
I don't know what's up.
If I hear it one more time, I'm going to come over there and I'll cripple you for life. No, every week this happens. Every week. Hold on, Phil.
Oh, come on, will you?
Hold on. Every week this happens. I come in my car and there's grape juice all over the front seat. Is that you? Your daughter. Look, when I told you guys you could joyride a little bit, I meant around the block. Don't get in it with your whole family.
Who is that?
The guy that parks the car here at the office. We got a valet service. I don't know what's your name? Seymour. He's Hispanic. You ever heard of a Hispanic guy named Seymour? Anyway, Edward Norton.
You let them joyride.
He gets in the car and they go and they get chicken or something. Oh, come on! I forget it. I'll fix it when I get over there. So, Edward Norton was joyriding in my Cadillac. Wait a minute.
You're Edward Norton.
Right. Edward Norton. He parks my car. No, he doesn't. Seymour. Seymour Alvarez got into a fight with a photographer.
You're talking about Edward Norton, the actor.
That's right. I'm sorry. Edward Norton. Now, I've known this punk kid since he got to town. Edward Norton is a great actor. And there's no questioning his ability. He's a great actor. And I've known this punk. And the first time I saw Edward Norton, I saw him on stage in New York. And I said, this guy. So I called up. Shorty Weisbrecht over at CAA. I'm going to kill me. There's going to be a dead valet tomorrow morning in the paper. You just check it. And I called up Shorty Weisbrecht at CAA. I said, you got to come and you got to look at this guy, Edward Norton, because he's all that and more. So Shorty went to New York and took a look at Norton, and he came back. He said, I don't get it. You know, he doesn't have enough talent to do a Babbo soap commercial. Are you kidding? And I said, Edward Norton, not Ed Norton. He said, no, I know. He said, I know it's not the guy on Jackie Gleason. I said, of course it is. And I said, it's a young actor. He said, well, there's two of them. And that was a whole 2 weeks before he finally did go and see the right Edward Norton.
Oh, God. Okay.
Well, I'm sorry. I wanted to give you the backstory.
Yeah, I don't need all of that.
So anyway, if I come over there and I find the grape juice again, the grape juice is what bothers me. You can joyride. Do anything you want. Your wife can have a baby in the back seat if you want, Seymour, but the grape juice? No. I know she's a little girl. So,
by the way, that's very nice of you to let a whole family of people joyride your Cadillac, but can we fix this story? Let's take a break, okay?
Now, you take your break. I'm going to go over and have a talk to this guy.
All right, we'll be right back with more on Edward Norton pushing some photographer. Way too much time spent on this story.
Want me to call back?
No. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
You don't tell me, I tell you. I don't give a damn what you told me the other day.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Harvey Weinman on the line with us as we talk about the legal ramifications having to do... I hear that car alarm again.
Just forget it. Just ignore it. Just ignore it.
The legal ramifications of a celebrity being harassed...
Well, we don't know that he was being... but I'm going to assume he was being harassed. Look, I've known Edward Norton since he... And I told you, I told Shorty Weisbrecht at CAA, go back to New York, look at this actor that I saw on stage, and you tell me... You tell me. Now, Shorty is not one of the, you know, as they like to say, he's not one of the brightest bulbs in the tool chest, or he's not.
He's not the sharpest knife in a. He's not the sharpest knife in the light socket.
No.
That's not it.
He's not the sharpest knife in the drawer.
In the drawer.
Yes.
All right.
Phil's right.
Okay. Well, Shorty is. He is very smart, so he's the opposite of that.
Then why did you bring that up?
Because I wanted to make a point of saying that he's not the sharpest knife. Never mind. But I told Shorty, go back to New York.
And this sharp knife that you're talking about, by the way, took him 2 weeks to figure out who the real Ed Norton was.
Well, let me ask you something. Is that a common name?
Yes, it's a common name.
All right, so, you know, if you go back to New York and you ask, go find Ed Norton, the first thing the average idiot's going to do is think it's the Honeymooners guy. Oh, God. Turn it off, Seymour!
I can't.
Yes, you can! I showed you how!
Harvey, I can't do this.
All right, so anyway, when he finally figured it out, Ed Norton comes back to L.A., and I said to him, are you going to represent him? And he said, no, because he's lousy. I said, what are you talking about? He's going to be one of the great young actors. He said, he probably will be, but right now he stinks. I said, why'd you bring him back to L.A.? And he says to me, I didn't. He followed me. So this begins the story where I put two and two together about Ed Norton, see?
He followed him?
Yes. In other words, the guy said, are you Edward Norton? He said, yes, I am. He said, do you want to represent me? He said, I thought maybe I'd want to represent you, but what I just saw you do on that stage, you don't need a representative. You need a hazmat. Excuse me. You need a hazmat team. That's what he said.
Well, that's a very discouraging and terrible thing to say to a young artist.
Well, he said it, okay? Shorty's that kind of a guy. Well, it didn't discourage this kid Norton. Shorty comes back to L.A. This Edward Norton arrives in L.A. like 45 minutes later, on the train, because Shorty takes the train. Shorty doesn't fly. Do you know that?
I don't even know who you're talking about.
I'm talking about one of the big agents. Oh, okay. You don't know. Oh, you love that. Hey, Phil, have you ever heard of Brad Pitt? Oh, I don't know who you're talking about.
I know who he is. I don't know who Shorty, whatever.
So anyway, he gets off the train. 45 minutes later, a train pulls in, and Edward Norton's on the train. Now, Shorty doesn't know this because he's not hanging around Union Station.
I just want to ask you a question. This guy takes the train everywhere.
Yes, he doesn't like to fly because he was in an airliner crash back at the beginning of his career, back in the 70s. He was flying a 747, and it was one of the first 747s that he thought was going to crash. And it didn't. It landed safely. But the plane was so big that Shorty panicked and said, something this big cannot defy gravity forever, and they had to land and kick him off the plane. It's one of the few times.
This guy, Shorty Weisbrecht, or whatever his name is one strange cat, man.
Oh, is that right? And you're perfect?
I'm listening to your car alarm going.
Well, I've been trying to ignore it. Hey, Seymour, come here. Here's $100 if you'll get that thing to turn up. Here's $100. See that? Please turn the car alarm off. Please. Now I'm paying you. Now I'm paying you, and I shouldn't have to pay you. You're the one that got grape juice jammed into the ignition and all over the seat. You wouldn't believe it, Phil. I got into my car, and then when I tried to get out, my ass, the brand spanking new slacks, just coated with grape juice and just sticky kit. God.
Well, what else? I mean...
You know the big all-day suckers? The thing was stuck to my... And to you, you probably think it's funny.
Are you kidding me? You had all-day suckers stuck to your butt?
Oh, yeah. You think that's funny, Dickman? I'm walking into a meeting with an all-day sucker just shoved right onto my ass like it... In any event...
You're kidding.
Isn't that what that guy just asked me? Am I kidding? No, I'm not kidding.
You walked into a meeting.
I walked into a meeting with a new client. I was asked to see this woman. And I walk in with one of those big all-day suckers from Disneyland, plastered, stuck to the rear end of my pants. And she got up and left. So this was a pro bono job. I don't give a damn if she walks across the street, gets hit by a bus. But it's my reputation's at stake. And someone says, Harvey Weirman's one of the best attorneys. Oh, God, I can't breathe. Will you turn it off? Come here. Come here.
Harvey.
Hold on. Here's another $100. Now you've got $200. You'll try? Do more than try.
You're paying this guy $200. You got a meeting ruined by his daughter's all-day sucker stuck to your ass.
Not to mention the grape drink.
Not to mention the grape drink. You haven't told me yet the Edward Norton story.
Well, I guess I won't because I...
Yeah, we're at the end of the hour. That's great.
Oh, well, don't get your little heart broken. It's no big deal. It was just that Edward Norton is not a guy you want to stalk. He will, with one hand, strangle you. That's the point. That was what I wanted to say. Edward Norton, the actor, can reach over with one hand and squeeze the life right out of anyone, any man, woman, or child. That's how frightening the guy is. So don't stalk Edward Norton, whatever you do. But I guess you can mess with me. The word's out among the valets. You can get into my car. You can stick an all-day sucker on my ass.
All right, go take care of it.
Yeah,
Phil Hendry.
We'll be right back.